and happy Tuesday. We're coming to you again with another fascinating topic this week on data. We certainly have talked about data before, but this week I am very excited because the topic is really around data, why quality is better than quantity. So I have a great guest for you, a longtime friend, colleague, you name it, in Sanjeev Kalita, who is CEO and founder of Guppy. Sanjeev and I have spoken about pretty much everything under the sun as it relates to financial services and tech, but certainly data is top of that list. So Sanjeev, thank you so much for being here. Happy to get you on the show.
Thank you, Scarlett. As always, it's a joy to talk to you and really excited to be part of this.
Awesome. So I cannot help but look at your shining face and your t-shirt with the beautiful Guppy logo. So why don't we just start and say, who is Guppy?
Yeah, so Guppy is a startup, a fintech startup that is disrupting the credit data industry. Just a bit of background, I used to work at Citibank Credit Cards. I used to manage a $30 billion credit card portfolio, 20 million customers, one of the largest in the industry, and used to experience the pain points, the B2B pain points of bad data, incomplete data, and sort of felt that from the business side. And then a few years later, actually experienced the consumer pain points of bad data. When I was trying to buy an apartment in Manhattan, and according to the credit report, I was married to a man in California. I had 5 foreclosures and 4 bad auto loans. All of that data was bad. And then, having to try to clean that up, I was like, this system is really horrible. Like we need to fix it. And so that's sort of how I got into looking at this industry, and that's why we're trying to make the system better.
Yeah, that is I've certainly seen people have profiles that are not representative of them, but that sounds far away from you and where you were at that time, certainly. So when I think too, you have a very fascinating background. Of course, you talked about the city aspect, and then there's the Google side as well. So you've really, and one of the things I've always enjoyed about conversations with you is your ability to kind of see multiple sides of the situation, from the tech side to the financial side, and then everything in between. So, you know, like I said, we've had so many conversations around data, thinking about aspects of data control to the impact of faulty data, and really the end effect on the consumer or the small business. So from your perspective, you know, you gave that great example in your own life, but really how do we fix this? Like this statement we talked about, quality is better than quantity. How do we get to that, and why is that so important?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, I guess the credit data market is a $50 billion market. So there's a lot of data that's being purchased. And so, you know, just a huge volume of data. But then if you, for example, a few years ago, the Federal Trade Commission did a study of consumer credit reports, and they estimated that about 25% of consumer credit reports have errors in them. And of that, 50% were major errors, meaning that they could lead to a consumer being denied services, or paying higher interest rates, or just paying higher fees. And so that's more than 1 in 10 consumers in the US. So that's a big impact. And when you're also thinking about like how credit data might be used for even employment decisions, you know, say if you couldn't get a job because your credit data was incorrect. I mean, that's pretty major. So I think that part of the reason is that historically credit bureaus were designed to keep data from the consumers, and credit bureaus were essentially networks of informants that would snitch on each other, that would say, oh, my neighbor is a drunkard, or that person across the street doesn't pay their bills, and because of the nature of this, everything was very hidden. And while the system has improved quite a bit since then, it's still, you know, there's not enough access. There's not enough ability for a consumer to see their data and to actually own their data. And so what we're saying is that this data is about you and I. So why don't we have better access to it? Why don't we control it? Why aren't we even able to monetize it? And so that's why we're using blockchain technology to push control to the edges of the system without sacrificing security. And, you know, with smart contract technology, we're enabling consumers, we're enabling account providers like banks to control their data at a tremendously granular level. And on the data purchaser side, you know, they're able to buy and use that data that's much better quality, that's been verified by multiple parties. And so that when they make their decisions, they can have greater confidence in their models, they can have greater confidence in whatever actions that they've taken. And in the end, this leads to better consumer experiences, which leads to better brand equity for the bank as well.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And key in that is really about empowering the consumer at the end of it. Now, on the financial institution side, you know, we've sat here and banks all of a sudden were for a period of time referred to as technology companies. And then one thing that I've always kind of said is what they really are. If you think about there's a few different things that banks really hold it at fundamental in terms of their value, but data is certainly one of them. The frustrating part of that is the aspect back to the title, which is they have so much data, and especially the end tail of the financial institutions in the US. I mean, we have 5,000 of them. So let's talk about the bottom 2,500 even, don't necessarily know how to access their data in ways that are beneficial for their clients. So how have you thought about, or how are you thinking about, you know, the impact there? Because really at the end of the day, the end consumer is going to be having a positive response to that, but how can we accelerate what's happening on the banking side to make that more of a reality, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, especially when you're looking at the smaller banks or you know, maybe the community banks, regional banks, you know, I think a big part of their value proposition is their ability to be close to their customers and to be in that customer's corner, and more so than maybe even the big banks can. And with what we're building, we're enabling them to also not only provide them, not only can the banks provide their financial services, but they can actually be the key to accessing a whole bunch of other services that they don't provide. And that bank can be a partner in improving the quality of the data that's about their customers that's out there. And, you know, if you look at some other surveys, recent surveys that I saw, that the average consumer is much more willing to trust their bank with their data than with a big tech company. And so what we have done is we've built a tool that enables that bank to help be that steward of that data, to help be the guardian of that data quality, and once again to enable that consumer to access better services, pay less for what they're getting, and you know, improve their lives. So that's sort of how, you know, I sort of see it.
Not agree more. It's interesting. I told you that one thing I think about is banks being data companies, and the second thing is really the value that I talked about was the trust component. So totally agree. Sanjeev, we could sit here and talk about this all day. But this is a great start. So thank you so much for everyone. If you click on the link below, you will have Sanjeev's entire background. We'll be talking more, and you'll hear more about his powerful brain on how all these components come together and where data is going, and really why quality now more than ever is so crucial. And of course, if you have questions for Sanjeev, you will be able to, all of his personal information will be there. You can go ahead and email him or connect with him online. Sanjeev, thank you as always for your time. Love hearing your perspective. And until next week, signing off.